The following is a special announcement for listeners of the Where is God's Word program with Bruce Musselman. On the morning of May 15th, Brother Bruce Musselman went home to be with the Lord following a short illness. His last new radio program aired just 8 days before his passing. Please join me in praying for the Musselman family and Bruce's friends and colleagues. For now and the next couple of months, we will be airing classic Bruce Musselman programs from our archives. We trust you will be edified and encouraged by these vintage programs. Now, let's join this week's edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And it's another day closer to the time when Jesus will come back. And I thank the Lord today, and our program is all about this, where Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." And our Creator God that made the heavens and the earth, He didn't leave us here to wonder why we're here, what we're doing, where we came from, and where we're going. Because He gave us a book, the Holy Bible, and He promised that He would protect it by His word, by His power, and by His authority, and so He has. And so the program here today is on where is God's Word, and we've been talking about it for a number of years, and a preacher just called in, and we're always glad to discuss the subject, and he said, "Well, why you believe the King James?" So I'm going to give some biblical reasons for believing the King James today. And this program is on another time than it has been. And so I have given this a number of times, but I thought, well, it's a good time to repeat this again. And so we're going to give biblical reasons, as many as we can give in the next 25 minutes. Now, here's the reasons. The true Word of God, first of all, teaches that Jesus is the Son of God. If you have a true Bible, it teaches Jesus is the Son of God, and it teaches it everywhere. If you had a pastor who taught 50 weeks out of the year that Jesus is the Son of God, and 1 week out of the year he taught he was the son of Joseph, you would wonder what was wrong with him. That would be strange. It's a contradiction or an oxymoron. And so it is if a Bible would teach he's the Son of God, and then one place teaches the son of Joseph, that would be false. And the Bible says in John 20:31, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. One of the things that opened my eyes to what is going on is one day I read in a New American Standard Version. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 33, it states that it says his father and his mother, and his father, he's referring to Joseph. And yet in that very same chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ is talking to the doctors of the law. And Mary comes in and says, "Your father and I have sought you sorrowfully." And she probably got to the place where she was covering up so that she would not get ridiculed. And Jesus then rebukes her in a way, and he says, "I must be about my father's business. Don't call Joseph my father." And Jesus never did. And so the King James said Joseph and his mother, not his father and his mother. And if it's wrong there, if Luke 2:33 says his father and his mother referring to Joseph, there will be 100 places in that Bible that will take the names of Jesus out, plus thousands of changes. And you know right there on that one verse, you have a corrupt Bible. Now, secondly, we believe the King James from the Word of God. And, you know, if God tells us how to be saved in his Word, and he tells us how to raise a family, and he tells us all these things, wouldn't he tell us where the true words of God are? Well, he certainly does. And the Word of God, the Bible, even false translations, even the counterfeits have enough of the verses in them that point to the King James Bible as God's Word. The true Word of God is something we have. Now, some individuals named Warfield, and we'll talk more about this at Princeton Seminary, he went over to Germany and learned some fairy tales from his professors over there, and he came back, and up until that time, confessions of faith in the churches taught that God would preserve his words. And so Warfield started to change, and he taught that infallibility inspiration, inerrancy, all just simply referred to the originals. There is no such verse in the scripture if you study it from beginning to end. Of course, the originals were infallible, inspired, and inerrant, but to say that our stand should be on the originals, which nobody has, is a confession of unbelief in the power of God. Now, Westcott and Hort, these two professors that put out the fictitious text based on Vaticanus and Sinaiticus put out by Constantine, who is a pagan or a semi-pagan. These two, by the way, disagreed with each other in the 3,000 words. So they put out, and they call it in 1881, they call the New Testament the original Greek. I hear people say, well, I go by the original Greek. Well, it was original with Westcott and Hort. It never existed before them. And they put out their own fictitious Greek text, which is the basis of the modern versions. And somehow they had a antipathy of Jesus, so they were against him and some of the other people that promote it because, and if you study their lives, you found out that they did not like to believe Jesus was God. And so they took out the names of Jesus. Now, they put that out. And Romans chapter 10, verse 8 said, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Now, God's word is something we have. It's near us. It's in our heart, and it's in our mouth. It's not talking about originals here. In John 5, verse 17, Jesus says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And so Jesus is telling us that his words should abide in us. That is, be inside of us. You know, people are changed. When they're watching television or watching the news magazine, or reading the news magazine, they're putting thoughts into their mind and they don't even realize it, but it becomes a part of them. And so when we read the Bible becomes a part of us and we begin to think like Almighty God as we read the Bible. And so there's great emphasis on reading the Bible. Some people are religious and they do not systematically read the Bible. I was just reading a statement made by a famous Baptist preacher named J. Frank Norris about studying the scripture. And he said, I have 3 points in how to study the scripture. He said, read the Bible, and read the Bible. And there's all kinds of ideas on religion going around, but they wouldn't be so popular if people would simply read the Bible. The Bible says that Jesus' words abide in us, and God knows how to speak English. He says, with men of other tongues will I speak to this people. And so he knows how to keep his word and translate it into English. And so God's word is in our heart and in our mouth. It's not in the originals like so many schools teach. Now, the true words of God will be possessed by the Jewish people forever. And Isaiah 59, 20 and 21. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant. Now, this is God's covenant with Israel, with Jacob, who is the Jewish people. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. So the Jewish people will always have the true words of God. And they have it in the Hebrew Masoretic text, which came down from the apostles or came down from the prophets of the Old Testament. And when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls like Isaiah, they compared 120,000 words with what they have today. And there wasn't even one change of the words because God said he would protect it. And so the King James Bible is based on the Hebrew Masoretic text in the Old Testament. One Jewish society in the 19th century said that it could never be superseded, that translation. And we believe that God's power was on it. Now, people like Kittle have messed with the Hebrew text, and if you read it today in the modern versions, it's not taken from the true text. It's been corrupted by people like Kittle. And I mentioned before I had a professor that was on the translation committee of the New International Version. And I said, ask him a number of questions. I called him up and I said, where does this text come from? And he said, well, the Leningrad Codex, the Hebrew Masoretic text, the Septuagint, Samaritan Pentateuch, and all these. And he said, scholars, they were not even evangelicals. They weren't Bible-believing, born-again Christians, put a text together. And that's what we have against the modern versions. They're not the preserved text coming from Almighty God. Now, the true Word of God is not based on scientific science, falsely so-called. And if you read their books on their rationalism that they put together, and I've read them and read them and studied them, they use words like conjectural emendation and intrinsic probability and critical intuition to make up their text. That's not even scientific. Critical intuition, conjectural emendation, and words like this. And the Bible says that we are not to go by science, falsely so-called, in 1 Timothy 6:20. People will say, for the modern text, which is the Alexandrian manuscripts, and by the way, they all disagree with each other constantly, because everybody in the last 2,000 years that copied them, almost everybody changed those manuscripts, and so they all disagree with each other. And they call this the scientific text. Well, the true text is the text out of Antioch, and that text is over 99% of the Greek manuscripts, and it goes right back to the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is, the King James is based on the 99%. The true Word of God is pure. In Psalms 12, 6 and 7, it says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Now, you know, the modern versions will take verse 7 and mutilate it so it doesn't say what it says. And they do this because it says God will preserve it, and that would back up the King James Bible, and so they mutilate it. And yet you find no commentary before the last 50 years that has such a translation as they do in the modern versions, or any version that even has a translation like that. They just mutilated the text. God said by his power he would preserve it, and he would purify it seven times. Today, there's a lot of churches, and, you know, they have different names to the churches, but you could call them, Where's the Bible Fellowship? That's what they ought to be named. Where's the Bible Fellowship? Because they have Bible translations that disagree with each other, and everybody has his own translation coming from the corrupt text, and they all disagree with each other. And so it's one time I stopped in a church, so they were reading, and everybody was to read from the same place. They were all reading from their different translations. And the lady that sat down the aisle, she looked over at me and started laughing. She may attend that church, but, I mean, it's ridiculous. And there's 30, 40,000 word changes in these Bibles from the true text that God has preserved in the King James Bible. You know, at Jesus' trial, they had false witnesses. And the false witnesses all disagreed with each other. And so the corrupt text, the Alexandrian text, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, the primary manuscripts used, they disagree in 3,000 words in the Gospels with each other. Why should we base a text on that or use a Bible from these corrupt manuscripts? But God has preserved his words, and we have it, thank God, in the King James. Now, the true word is incorruptible seed. And so we have a unified text, and God said that he would purify it seven times. And I have read textual historians who are not even Christians, didn't understand about biblical Christianity or being born again, and yet they said that the received text would seem to have become unified as time went on. Well, you know, usually a stream becomes more polluted as time goes on. It doesn't become more unified and pure. And today, the Word of God is like a stream running down the mountain. You know, if it runs down the mountain over the rocks, it becomes purified. And as the stream of the Word of God came down through time, God purified it, and we have it in the perfect form in the King James. The modern ones are like a muddy river, and you have to go to your favorite minister or your favorite Greek professor or so-called scholar, and then he will strain it out, and then you'll find out what it really says. You know, I believe, like Jesus, he said it is written. He had copies of copies, but he never corrected it. He never said things like, this is an unfortunate translation, or the original say, and things of this order, which destroy faith in God's word. You know, this may sound negative, but we're very positive. We say we have the word of God. When you look in a King James Bible, it is true. The whole thing is true, and it is preserved by Almighty God. And so the true word of God is not based on false witnesses, like when they attack Jesus. The true word of God is incorruptible seed, being born not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You know, man's DNA, as time goes on, becomes corrupt, and so people are born with deformities. But what God's word is incorruptible seed. It never corrupts. Now, people can put out counterfeits of it that are corrupt, but the true word of God goes on through all of time. And God said that he will preserve it. And so it is incorruptible seed. In Greenwich, England, they tell time by the stars, and those stars move within a fraction of a second. And our Lord Jesus Christ is so powerful, he upholds all things by the word of his power. He upholds the stars and moves them within a fraction of a second. And I tell you, our Lord Jesus Christ has the power to keep his words. If he doesn't, what kind of a God do we have anyway? He's the living God. He's the all-powerful God. And he promised to keep his words. The word of God is alive and can reproduce itself. And for a time, most seminaries under A.T. Robertson and the rest of these characters were saying that the King James was dead. And in other words, the received text that has come down to us from Christ was dead. And they were teaching that to the pastors. And they thought that it was over with. There was a historian named Vedder. And Mr. Vedder said that they had put out different translations. And he said this about 1900. But you will never get Christians to turn from the King James. And he did not believe in the King James. Well, why wouldn't they turn from it? I'll tell you why they wouldn't, because there's the Holy Spirit of God, and God promised to keep it and to show where it was at to the Christian. The Word of God is alive and can reproduce itself, and so the true text down through the ages reproduces itself. And although Robertson and these people were teaching the pastors from a corrupt text, Nestle's Greek text, and Westcott and Hort texts, the National Bible Society texts, and all these corrupt texts, yet the true text went on. And Billy Sunday at the same time was using a King James Bible, and he says, if you don't believe the Bible, and he was using the King James, he says, scholarship and go plumb to the devil. And so he was preaching, and he had a revival outside of Pittsburgh, and churches took in thousands of members, and two churches right near where he was preaching took in 1,000 members apiece of people that were saved and came to Christ through his preaching, and the King James was passed on. Sarah's womb was dead, and she couldn't produce a child, but the living God could give her a child, supernaturally born. And so the living God can reproduce the true text, and it says, the word of God liveth. It has the ability to reproduce itself and abideth forever. The Bible says the word of God abideth forever. That is, Christians will have it down through the ages. There's a group in Austin, Texas, and I found out about them recently, called Beams. And this group gives out, and they get a high-quality Bible that will last a long time. It costs them about $8, and they give out 10,000 of these King James Bibles every single month. And they give these Bibles out also in other languages all around the world, and they agree with the authorized King James Bible of the Word of God. But down through the ages, the Christians had them. For instance, the Nestorians took the Word of God in the Syriac Peshitta all the way into first the Middle East and then to India, and by 7th century, all over China. You have the Paulicians taking the Word of God into Moscow by 1000, and they were there all the time in eastern Turkey and Armenia and so on. And they were taking the word of God all into the Balkans and in the Greek language. And then you have the Waldensians and Italy. And they used the true text, the received text. And then you have the Irish churches under Patrick of Ireland, who started 360 churches and baptized by his own words 120,000 adults, and they had the true text in the old Latin text, the italic text. And so God preserved his word, and it abides means Christians have an opportunity to get it. If you don't have it, go to one of those dollar stores, and you can pick up a King James Bible, the Word of God. And don't pick up one that's so tiny you can't read for $5. You spend $10, and you can pick up one that has a good-sized print that you can read. So the Word of God endureth forever. And, you know, the Word of God was in the Ark and of the Covenant. And they were not allowed to, touch the ark. In other words, God didn't want his word to be changed. And so the ark was taken down into the Philistine country. And it was taken to Dagon's temple. And so it was put there with the false god Dagon. And Dagon, next morning, had fallen down in front of the ark, in front of God's word. And so they put up Dagon again, and he fell down again. And so they got the message, and they sent the ark, and the ark caused disease among the Philistines. You know, that's what it's saying is the false translations that are not the true word of God, they come and they go. 200 translations into English based on the corrupt Alexandria manuscript. They stand a little while as long as the advertising exists, and then they fall. They're corrupted. But the true word of God has gone on for 2,000 years, and nothing is going to stop it. The true word of God will be there during the tribulation, and the true word of God abideth forever. It'll go on through all eternity, and it has the wonderful promises of God. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know, when the ark of God came back to the Jewish people, the ark of God that contained the word of God in it, it looked like it was going to fall off the cart. It shouldn't have been on a cart. The priests were supposed to carry it with staves. And a man touched it, and God shows what he thought about it. The man touched it to hold it in place. His name was Uzzah, and he was struck dead right on the spot. I wouldn't dare touch the word of God and change it in any way or fashion. And it shows what God thinks about it. You know, the last words of Jesus were that he puts a curse on anyone that changes the words of God. We have people today that are correcting the true word of God or using counterfeits. The word of God is preached by gospel preachers that get results. And so you go down through the ages, and the preachers all the way from the time of Christ that were preaching the word of God, and we can name like Patrick of Ireland or Peter de Bries in the 12th century, or all these individuals, they were using the true text. Maybe it was in their language. The United States of America, when the first great huge revival came, it was Mr. Whitfield that came, and God used him to turn America upside down. What was he using? The King James Bible. And after that, evangelist after evangelist came, Mr. Finney, and he didn't believe that he had the right to correct it. And Talmage had a great church in New York City, and Talmage said it's a perfect translation. And these people expressed themselves on the true word of God. Talmage's son went to Chicago, and Billy Sunday went to his church after he got saved. And so Billy Sunday used the King James and preached it. And God blessed him in a tremendous way. And down through the ages, God has blessed those people that used it. And so the word of God goes on, and it is not based on the word of men's wisdoms. In 185 to 254, this man named Origen, and he changed the words of God. Every place that he didn't think God was right, he changed those words, and he made a translation into classical Greek. The word of God is not based on classical Greek. It's based on common Greek. In 1 Corinthians 2:13, it says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, not in philosophical or classical Greek, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And so it was based on the common Greek language. You know, they teach in Greek class, the first thing, the word of God's based on Koine Greek. Well, the modern translations are not based on Koine Greek. They're based on the corrupt classical Greek of origin. The two words of God are honored by God above all his name. Psalm 138:2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess Jesus is Lord, but he's magnified it above his name. I know modern translations, of course, corrupt it because they don't like it. But I'll tell you, he will honor his word. And the true word of God is something we have. The Bible says we can look at it. James 1:25, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. When you read a King James Bible, you are reading the last word from heaven. 2 Corinthians 4:2, not nor handling the word of God deceitfully. You can handle the Bible, the word of God. The word of God is near us. Romans 10:8, the words are nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. It's something you have in your mouth and in your heart. Psalm 119:11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And schools call it heresy many times to teach this, but Paul says, Acts 24:14, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets. And thank God we can believe everything that's in there. And I believe it, and millions of other people have believed it, will believe it, and will believe it till Jesus comes. We have the true word of God, and what a wonderful thing it is. Man, it'll calm you at night. You can't sleep. You can just quote it to yourself, and you can go to sleep. And it'll give you peace, and it'll give you joy, and most of all, it'll give you salvation, and you'll know God. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mattaway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.